Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. I have a confession to make. I am on the road and was without my typical That Thing I Do podcast gear, so the recording, the audio quality of this particular episode might be a little dodgy. I also may be eating food because I'm on the road and this is my time to eat food. So if you hear nom-noms happening, it's because they are. But welcome.
It's lunchtime. At my time, I just ate dinner in Los Angeles. It's lunchtime. Everyone needs a good relaxation, like, day or two. And I'm so glad you're taking that for yourself, Darren. So
that's what I'm doing. Away from the stresses of this incredibly grueling podcast.
Eat to your heart's content, my friend.
Welcome, everybody. This is episode 3. And on today's episode, we have me and Esty talking about, yet again, ourselves, our lives, the things we do, and trying to make up for the fact that we didn't have a guest this week. All right.
It's okay. Just so everyone knows, Darren, Chris, I'm not good with taking compliments, but I love giving them. Darren, Chris is wearing a really fancy hat today, and he looks quite dapper.
I don't usually rock hats, but I'm in the desert right now. We haven't been very location specific for our listeners because I didn't want to blow people's shit up. But you're not exactly in your domicile either.
No, I'm a nomad.
You're a nomad. Can we say where you are?
I'm still in London, but I'm not going to be here for much longer. Unfortunately, I could honestly live here for the rest of my life.
For a while, just in case anybody's prickly about.
Yeah, you know. I was quarantining, and then I was working, and then we did Glastonbury, and we won a Brit Award.
A lot of fun things have happened for you in England.
A lot of fun things have happened, and you know, we interviewed Maya Rudolph while I was here.
That was fun.
Jolly London town,
and we launched the podcast. You've been in there this whole time.
This place holds so many memories for me, honestly. I don't know how I'm going to feel once I leave. But if and when I do leave, it means that there is the possibility that you and I could be in the same room doing this podcast.
I know. What a fucking novel concept, right? Like, you haven't done that yet.
I know. We can, like, high-five each other when you or I makes a pretty pun-believable joke. Which you, if we're really going tit-for-tat here, I think you've gotten more puns in our, like, it within our friendship, like, more pun points than I do, which is upsetting.
I don't believe that's true. I appreciate that tally, but I think we're probably, I think game recognized game here, Esty. I think we're definitely toe to toe. I appreciate you saying that.
I need the reassurance that I'm not rusty on my pun game. Also, have you heard that, like, being good at good at puns, or being pun believable, if you will, is the mark of being a millennial?
Really?
Allegedly, we love.
Says who? Puns. Says who? Who made that? Who made that thing? Because puns aren't, like, generationally specific, in my mind, at least.
Listen, I'm with you. I love. I would call it more wordplay.
Yeah, being a wordsmith is just like a non. Everybody loves doing that.
I agree. I think it's like a sign of intelligence, personally.
Yeah, you know what annoys me is not annoys me, but it blows my mind when people are like, "Oh yeah, like dad jokes. Like that's a dad joke." I'm like, listen, there are some funny dads, but, like, let's not flatter all dads here. What if we just are really clever with puns? Dads don't have, like, a monopoly.
You're so right.
On puns, like, what about the moms? What about the moms who are good at puns?
I'm a future mom, hopefully.
Yeah, you're a future mom. Like, what are they gonna say? Oh, that's such mom humor. It's like, no, that's just dope humor. You just got to catch up to me, bro.
I think you're right. I think my mom humor. I mean, mom humor for me is like, my mom is, like, the most self-deprecating woman on planet Earth. She's an angel, but she loves some self-deprecating humor. And I've definitely, by osmosis, that's my brand of humor as well.
I think that's very, I think that's also a mark of, while we're talking about what the mark of things are, if puns are allegedly a millennial thing, I think self-deprecancy is a, I think if used in a, I'm being careful with this because I'm like, does this actually, is this true what I'm about to say? I find self-deprecancy disarming, charming, and a byproduct of emotional intelligence.
Yeah, I think so too.
So bravo.
And I think we're both pretty self-aware. But yes, I guess whilst, you know, I have, there's like, I have cousins that are younger than me and allegedly, it is a quintessential millennial trait to love puns.
Well, fuck yeah. I'm okay with that. That's fine. I'm all right with that. It's like when people make fun of, I was thinking of like stereotypes about certain people. You know, we were talking to Maya when she was in Ireland, and I always think it's funny as having Irish blood myself, you know, when you think of stereotypes, national stereotypes, you know, for better or for worse, you think of America, oh, volatile, young, progressive, idealistic, overconsumptive, hamburgers and guns, and the American cowboy, all the bad stuff, you know, the negative stereotypes that we might have around the world. And then I go, oh yes, and then of course the Irish who love to drink and sing and have a great time, and you're like, what a great stereotype. Like, that's awesome. Like, oh wow, oh no, I have to spend my time with a bunch of people who are famous for having an incredible time with their friends and singing beautiful music that makes you cry over an incredible glass of beer.
Like,
fucking sign me up. That's the wonderful stereotype.
I think Ireland is like one of my favorite places ever, especially to play a show.
100%. It's in their blood, in their veins. Music
is
so part of their thing. And I hate casting broad generalizations over peoples and cultures, as indicated by my defense of the, my prosecution of dads having monopoly over puns. It's like everybody has everything. Like, there are assholes everywhere. There are wonderful people everywhere. There's like everything has a lot to offer all the time. But in particular, the Irish do have sort of an uncanny home field advantage with the loving of music. And yeah, playing shows there is always just such a fucking joy, man.
It really is.
What do you think it is?
Maybe as a society, I think that they also don't like, they're not afraid to just like let loose. And I think for me, I mean, we played the Olympia, we did two nights at the Olympia Theater in Dublin, and I've never heard such, it sounded like we had brought a choir with us, like singing.
Wow. Oh, singing along.
Yeah. It was wild. It was truly wild. And I got a little teary. When we were, I think we were doing, we were singing Want You Back.
Oh, and, man. Do you have like a sing-along?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And they, I mean, listen, the Higham sisters have never shied away from, you know, having percussive, really intense, you know, syllables. A lot of syllables in our music. A lot of.
Yes. I definitely relate to that. Yeah. You have the alliteration and the assonance and the consonants of your words playing part of the groove.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah. You're hitting the ones and twos with the A, Bs, and Cs. I get it.
Yeah. So, and even with that and how complicated our lyrics can be sometimes, they really nailed it.
Really?
So kudos to the Dublin audiences. I wasn't kidding when I said to Maya, like, I wish that we could be there with her.
Oh man, me too. I was so jealous.
It's fucked up. I feel like, you know, I wish that we, I don't know. I just wish that I had more of an opportunity or at least like the go ahead to just hop on a plane and go visit friends, but c'est la vie.
Well, you've also been doing work. You know, we won't mention what you're doing, but you're doing stuff in London town and in the UK.
Yeah. I guess I wish that one day, Darren, can you just promise we will take this on the road?
I think we're going to have to. I would love that. That'd be great. If not just to make up for all this lost time.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Are you in California?
Yes, I'm in California. It's all good. I can tell you why I'm wearing this hat. It's currently probably, I don't know, like 92 degrees outside. We had a little desert weekend with some friends that we had in the calendar for a long time that we postponed until everybody was vaccinated, which everybody is now. So me and like the kind of close-knit group of pals from college had a nice little weekend, desert weekend getaway. And on the way back, we're like, let's just like stop and get ourselves a, you know, a nice little relaxing spa day. So we stopped in this place. And so I'm setting up in like their little restaurant somewhere in the Palm Desert area outside of Los Angeles.
Oh my God, you're in Palm Desert?
Oh yeah, it's hot. This is out of necessity as well, so don't burn the top of my skull.
My pop-up Joe retired in Palm Desert. So I used
what to. What you do?
That's what you do. That's what pop-ups
it's
do.
The Florida of California.
It truly is. And I have a lot of memories. I have a lot of memories from Palm Desert. That's like where I learned how to swim.
Really? That's nice. I mean, Palm Desert, I'm being broad because people that are listening that don't know the sort of geography, I'm saying Palm Desert, but that includes what you may have heard of, which is Palm Springs, which is a larger, I mean, there's so many parts, La Quinta. Yes. Desert Hot Springs. I mean, I'll just let you know right now. I'm in Desert Hot Springs right now because that's where like a lot of the spas are. But we are in Joshua Tree, Pioneer Town, Yucca Valley. That whole ecosystem of desert life is something that I didn't kind of get into until later in life. I remember when Mia and I started dating, and her mom had a place out in the desert. We went to go see her family, and I famously, and much to my, you know, embarrassments because they won't ever let me. I don't even let me live this down. Is you know, I come from Northern California. I like mountains. I like trees. I like I don't know, beaches, like vibrancy, like life. You know. And so I'm sitting there, and I really hung out in the desert. It was like 10 years ago. And she's like, "Darren, what do you think of the desert?" And I went, "I don't know. I don't like to go where the earth goes to die."
No. What the. Mean
with like what an asshole thing to say. But I think,
parents?
Well, I didn't mean it in like a shitty way. I just meant like I tend to err on the side of like greenery and mountains and stuff. It was an idiotic, ignorant thing to say that I've since apologized for many times because I've really grown to love like the stillness and expanse of the desert. There's sort of a calm in like the emptiness and the vastness that I didn't appreciate till you know, until the past few years, but I love it out here. So we had a nice little weekend and I'm talking to you in a random undisclosed location somewhere in Desert Hot Springs with my goofy little hat on, eating my little sandwich.
Well, you look great. I don't want to take too much of our time because this is supposed to be like relaxation time.
Well, the fact that we're pulling this off, people don't realize when you start a podcast, you got to like keep that shit up like every week.
Yep.
So here we are, you know? Works
don't
and all.
Too excited.
I love it. I think it's cool. No, what I'm saying is I'm in a fucking spa in the, you know, middle of the desert and you're in London and we're talking. Like, that's amazing. That's magic. This is crazy.
I agree. This is the thing that I look forward to every week is being able to sit down and talk to you for like an hour.
Aw, likewise. You know, I was going to say back to the Irish thing and then I want to pivot to playing shows. Something that I love, another thing I love about the Irish, because we have a group of Irish friends in Los Angeles. And I remember one of our famous like first hangs in LA, cause we'd always hang with them in London. And then this kind of contingency like moved to LA.
Yes.
And first night at our house, I think I was talking to my American friend, like, yeah, what's great about the Irish is at some point the night always ends up in a sing-along. Now granted, it always ends up in a sing-along with me and Mia anyway. Totally. And we kind of bring it back to our house and it just sort of happens naturally. But I remember walking into our house and they see the piano and the guitar and the first thing they say, let's have us a sing song. They call it a sing song, which I find so adorable. It's not a sing along. We say sing along. They say, let's have a sing song.
I mean,
so we had ourselves a sing song. So I love sing song.
Both make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They both work.
But your audience in Ireland had a sing song with you guys as you were playing. But you're going to have a sing song soon, a really big sing song in Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. You're selling tickets for said sing song.
Well, we're going to have a sing song at the Santa Barbara Bowl. I think pre-sale goes on sale today.
When is the show?
So the show is September 17th at the Santa Barbara Bowl. So Angelinos can just drive up the hour and a half.
Wait, the 17th, aren't you guys playing Life is Beautiful?
That's literally the next day.
Wow. What a Heim time packed weekend. Saturday in Santa Barbara and Sunday or Friday in Vegas? Or is it Friday in Vegas and Saturday in Santa Barbara?
I think it's Friday. Now I gotta look. Friday.
I'm pretty sure our listeners have the power of the internet so they can check out themselves. But, dude, yeah, but I
want to get it right for us. Okay.
I mean, I'm talking about spas being open here. I mean, it's amazing. You have a show booked. I mean, that's incredible.
I know. Well, it's outdoors, which I think also helps, you know,
right.
helps the cause. Indoor shows, I think. Well, and we're also playing an indoor show. We're playing the O2 Arena September 30th in London.
Oh, my God. I've played the O2. You can believe that shit.
Wait, when did you play the O2? With
Glee days, man. The Glee cast. Yeah, it was crazy. I was like I don't want to say fake U2, but I felt like I was in U2 for a summer. Actually, it would have been a year ago, 10 years, 10. Oh my God, Esty, fucking, it would have been 10 years ago, like right now. It would have been the summer of 2011 when I was on tour with the Glee Kids and we sold out the O2, like, I think for like 4 shows back to back. We set some record, which I'm sure now has been broken.
Wait.
Yeah.
You did.
Glee was a big deal, man. Sold out the O2, 4 shows in a row.
I wish our audience could see my jaw because it is agape and on the floor.
I mean, listen, it has nothing to do with me and more of the power of the branding of Glee. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, yes, my name was on the marquee and they came to see. Like, it's like Glee, it was a massive machine with like a huge cast and a big, you know, and a big draw. Like, but that was wild, man. Like, just traipsing around that fucking like catwalk. What's that?
I said you guys put on an amazing show.
That's amazing that you're putting... Yeah.
So I'm assuming that you're going to come with me to Life is Beautiful and we're going to be front row for Green Day.
Oh my God. I would die. Hold on. I'm sitting across from my wife. Me, can I tell them the Green Day story?
Hi, Mia.
She says hi. So me did something real fucking cool and heroic. She loves Green Day, has seen Green Day many times. And at Lollapalooza, however many years ago this was, this may have been like, I don't know, what do you think, me? Like 10, maybe 10 plus years ago. Green Day was headlining and Mia had waited. Like, it wasn't the kind of band where they start playing and then you show up. Like, she was there hours before at the expense of like missing other bands because she was all in on being up front for Green Day at Lolla. Like, what a cool spectacle. And, you know, drinking all day, you get to a point where you got to pee. You just got to pee, but you can't give up your spot. So here lies the conundrum of what to do. Mia's like shaking her head because now I feel like any fans are now going to make fun of her for this. But those fans will be lame because they won't understand how actually cool this is. So while the band's playing, I don't know, they're like an hour into their set, and Mia makes the very adult conscious decision to just go. Mia, what did you do?
I peed in my shoes.
Peed in her shoes. Just peed herself. Did it. She just peed. She was in a crowd of people. And you know what? It wasn't like I peed my pants uncontrollably. I couldn't help it. I heard a really funny joke and I peed. Mia says it's worse.
I don't know. I don't think it's worse. I think it's you being an adult.
But anyway, I always thought that it was a cool, like, you know what? I'm a grown ass woman. I'm here for one thing. I'm going to let this go so I can enjoy myself and not worry about Mia's sacred head saying this is terrible. Anyway, but yes, I will wait for you and maybe I too will pee my pants and pee into my shoes. Because I don't want to leave.
Do you know about this? There's so just on the peeing at a concert tip. I was playing Reading and Leeds Festival And I believe it. This show was in Leeds. So we're in Leeds. It's my first time playing Reading in Leeds. This was back in 2013. And it was one of the first, like, bigger festivals that I had ever, like, played, let alone been to. I'd been to, like, Coachella, and I think at that time we had played Glastonbury. But, like, this was, like, the next big festival. And, you know, the thing with Reading in Leeds is kind of essentially kids, 16-year-old kids, do their, like, basically the SATs of the UK, and it indicates whether or not they're going to go to, like, what schools they're going to get into and blah, 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 blah. So that's to my understanding. That's like, that could, I'm probably butchering it, but my understanding is this is kind of like, I'm out of school. It's the summertime. I just got my test results. I'm getting plastered. So cut to, so that I knew all of that going in. Cut to us playing Reading in Leeds and playing like one of the most, like, one of the most fun shows I think we've ever played. The kids were up for it. Having
when was this? What album was this?
This was on our first record. This was 2013. Oh, wow.
So the rocket ship has taken off.
Oh, yeah. We were, you know, we were, and we were at the time, we were covering this Peter Green song called Oh Well, that is just the most face-melting song to play. It's really fast, and it has this really sick guitar lick, and, you know, the bass line is really fun to play, and it's just the most fun song to play. So we're playing this song, and in the middle of the song, I feel precipitation. And I'm looking in the sky, and there isn't a cloud in the sky. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, you know what? The UK is unpredictable when it comes to weather. We know this.
It's a single rain cloud over you.
Right. I was like, I can't, you know, maybe I just can't see it, but it's raining. And this continues to happen sporadically throughout the show. I'm feeling rain. I'm feeling rain in my face, on my body. And I get off stage after we play, you know, we finish the set. And I go up to our tour manager at the time, who was from Liverpool. And
Scousy guy.
Chechen.
Fried fucking Chechen, man.
Fucking Chechen, man. My Liverpool accent is so disgusting and awful.
That's all you got to say is...
Check. Checking in. Yeah. So I get off stage and I'm like, Dan, did it rain in the middle of our set? Like, I'm wet. And he goes, oh no, babe, that's piss.
On you. Somebody was pissing on you?
No. So as to me as, you know, pertaining to me as story, kids would line up to be at the very, very front at the barrier because they want to see, you know, their band play. And going to the bathroom, going to pee, you don't want to lose your spot. So
you just pee in the fucking trough of the front.
You pee in your cup that you just drank your beer from.
Oh, no.
Because also in the UK, you can drink.
Yeah, anywhere. It doesn't fucking matter. Yeah.
You can't do that in the States. There's beer gardens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to. There's
designated areas.
Liability, yeah, designated areas legally that you can drink and not drink. Or, you know, I'm using quote fingers, not everybody follows it. But yes, you're supposed to, at least. Yeah.
Exactly. But in the UK, no rules.
It doesn't fucking matter. It's amazing.
So the kids that were at the barrier for our show were drinking, they were chugging their beers, pissing in the cups, and then throwing the piss in the air.
Wow, that's... But wait, hang on a second. If I'm doing the math here, the distance from... Even if it was a smaller stage, the distance from being at the front of a gate to you, it's quite a throw. It's quite a toss.
Oh, yeah. And they
somebody really wanted to shower you in urine.
Yes. Yes. They just throw it in the air. It's not like it's like they're just tossing it. It's like they're propelling it into the air as I think like a almost like a celebratory thing. Like I'm having the best time.
Everybody, golden showers for everybody.
Yes, golden showers bring my flowers.
Wow. Well, I appreciate the intent, but I don't know if I needed the outcome.
I mean, it didn't deter me from playing Reading and Leeds again. I didn't mind it. I definitely got some in my mouth. 100%.
Oh boy, that's awful.
Got urine in my mouth. But you know what?
You're a rock star, man. Like, that happens.
I would fucking do it again.
Yeah, you're a goddamn rock star. That's some serious rock star shit.
Thank you, Darren.
Like, if you can't handle the piss.
No.
Get off the stage.
Get your head out the toilet.
Get your head. I don't know what the saying is from that experience, but I do think it's disgusting, but I think it's also kind of rock and roll and cool that you didn't give a fuck.
I feel like I said this on the first episode, like, touring and playing live is truly the only thing that brings me, like, pure joy. Pure, unfiltered.
Other than doing this podcast.
Other than this goddamn podcast. And you seeing your beautiful, shiny face and hearing you laugh. I wish I could make
ha, ha, ha.
You have a great laugh, Darren.
Thank you. I think we've got some solid cackles.
We do.
Are a cackle crew.
I don't filter my laughing either. I used to when I was younger because I was embarrassed by it, but now I just
embrace. Don't do that. No, it's I would encourage you not to do that. Other news podcast, playing live.
Yes. Podcast. Yeah. I mean, when I came to you to do this podcast, it was more just because I thought it would be something fun because I had time, because we weren't touring, I was like, I mean, I get to talk to my friend Darren about and interview people and make friends with people. Like, that sounds like a great use of my time. But to when I think about not touring and not being able to play these songs that I've written with my sisters in front of people, it's really sad. I miss it a lot. And when we played Glastonbury, you know, I really relished every moment of it. Cause I was like, I don't know when I'm going to, you know, we're playing shows in the future, but like not for a while, you know, we're not playing shows until September. And I'm not used to that at all. Right. That's like, and that's also like, yeah, that's, it's really the only thing that makes me happy. And being able to, you know, and meet people on the road. And, you know, it's like, it's the little things that you don't even think about that are so much fun, like going to a new city and trying, you know, trying their food and, you know, and meeting people and going to coffee shops and pawn shops and, you know, and going to thrift stores. And
you're a people person. Touring is the ultimate for people. I mean, that's why I love touring. I love touring for that reason as well. I love meeting people. I love the, I just love the social aspect. I like to travel. You know, I don't mind living out of a suitcase. It's not for everybody. I know a lot of people, I'm sure we have mutual colleagues who like can't fucking stand touring. They love living in the studio, being an artist, songwriting, and then touring is just like this extra thing they have to do that is like a drag for them. And I feel bad for them because I'm like, man, that's the funnest part.
It really is.
To get to share it in person with people. Yeah. From all over the world, people you've never met.
Nah, and like, you know, it's an adrenaline rush for me too. You know, it makes me happy hearing other people sing my lyrics back to me.
Yeah, no, that's a nice feeling. And it's a mutual thing because it's not like, oh, like, give me your love. Like, you're giving them love. It is a totally mutual experience. Like, you're there for them and vice versa, you know?
Oh, it's totally dialectical. They're influencing me, I think, just as much as I'm, you know, not influencing. Influencing isn't the right word, but they're giving me energy just as much as I'm giving them.
Right. Energy. And again, I felt bad sort of adding the sort of financial element to it, but like, it is true. Like, bringing it up feels crass, but you know, like, it is a big point of income for bands and artists to go out in the road. It's not why we do it, but it is on the spectrum of where income can happen, where revenue can be generated when you put out music. People assume that it's from the records coming out. And for a lot of people, especially in a major label position, that isn't necessarily true. It's really when you're playing shows and people, I always tell fans that like, oh, you know, I'm debating whether or not seeing this artist, like it's this amount. I'm like, well, think about it this way. Like, that's you're really supporting the artist with your like by being there. And also, like, never be discouraged about spending money on culture. You know, I always encourage people just to like, that's you won't regret that, you know, because you're paying for an experience that is, you know, and like anytime a beloved artist passes on, you're just like, man, what I wouldn't have given to seen, you know, I wish I could have seen David Bowie. I wish I could have seen, you know, there's a lot of people that I wish I had the opportunity to. So it's like, you know, if there's people on this earth that have touched you in some way, like, and you have an opportunity to like have a cathartic experience with them in real time in the same room, like there's no price to that. You know what I mean?
Oh, are you kidding? I had that moment with Tom Petty.
Yeah, I saw Tom Petty right probably within a couple months before he passed away, and I was so glad I saw him.
Did you go to the Bowl?
No, he played the Bowl shortly after. I saw him at in Napa, outside of where I grew up in San Francisco. Great festival.
Bottle Rocket.
Fantastic festival. I'm even reluctant to say that because it was one of those festivals that you're like, all right, it's new, it's small, it's perfect. Before the shit blows up and gets out of hand, this is the glory years. But yeah, he closed it out, and it was amazing.
I heard about that. I heard that that festival was amazing. I've never played it.
One day you'll play it. You'll play it pretty soon, I'm sure.
You know what? I would honestly play. I'd play a parking lot at 2 p.m. in 117 degree heat. At this point, honestly, I just want to play. I miss it so much. So yes, I'm looking forward to playing shows again, and in a safe way. And you know, I that's the other thing. It's like, as much as I wish that I could, you know, perform and tour, what I really want is just for everyone to be safe.
Totally.
So I will be patient and I will wait my turn. But yeah, I can't wait.
We'll get back in no time. I mean, there's a few things, and we can use this as a transition to your breakfast epiphany. Because our first episode, I was trying to think of like a way to say obsessions that I have. And then they may just be breakfast epiphanies, may just be, you know, thoughts of the week. But I went on a 9-minute Instagram rant about why In the Heights is so amazing. And I even like forgot points that I wanted to make because I saw it maybe a couple months ago. And it's the kind of thing, I've seen it already, but I cannot wait to go and see it in a theater with human beings and have this like unbridled, unfettered, joyous, like celebration of dreams and coming together and culture, like at, you know, fucking everything's at 11. It's just 2.5 hours of smiles and goosebumps. And I can't wait to experience that in the theater. And John Chu, the director of the film, they had like a screening in Harlem, or I think in Washington Heights, where the show, where the movie takes place. And I like cried just watching it, cause you had all these people hooting and hollering and just like that vibe that we all live for, man, whether you're in the audience or on stage, like being a part of that, like just again, unfettered human connection. That is like what drives most of the machines in my life, man. It was fun to see. So I feel that too, man. I can't wait to go to the theater, the venue. I don't fuck.
I know. Well, you're in LA. Our theaters are, cause you know, movie, I wouldn't call myself a movie buff because, no, I don't think that describes me accurately. I'm obsessed with movies though.
Yeah, like,
I love movies. I love going to the movies. I love going to the movies by myself.
Yeah, me too. I do love going to a movie by myself. That's a fun experience. I remember when I first did that, I was doing a show in New York, and I, you know, it was like my girlfriend at the time, you know, my now wife wasn't with me. And so I remember just going to the movies, and I was like, this is great. this is awesome. Yeah, I go to the theater. I go to see plays in Broadway all the time by myself, because I can always get tickets, but like there's always one ticket somewhere in the front that one person hasn't taken. So I always go by myself. I'll like just in and out easy. But yeah, Garrett, that feeling is
when
special.
When everything opens up, can we do this? Cause I don't want to take away this solo mission that you have of going to see plays by yourself. I don't want to take that away from you. But what I do want to do is go with you to a show where we both attend.
Of course.
No,
it's not like an exclusive thing.
No. But you can sit by yourself. I'll sit far away from you.
Just see how it is. Okay.
Yes. I want to be at the same show as you, but we don't have to experience it side by side.
All right.
Because I don't want to take away that experience from you. And I know you don't want to take away that experience from me either. But I do... I haven't seen a Broadway show in so long, and I miss it.
I'll take you. You know, maybe we'll do a little New York run, because you know I'll be back in New York doing this play.
When are you doing that?
So we just stopped in March of 2020, and now we're just going to go back. We're literally opening within a day of when we were supposed to open in 2020, just 2 years later. So we're just going back to it in 2022. Yeah, as of now, like, I think everybody's still locked in. Anything can happen, but I fully intend on doing it.
What's the play called?
Oh, American Buffalo, dude. Fucking classic Dave Mamet. I'm sure you guys did see that. It's such a boy play. Like, I'm sure every boy in theater school at some point has done a scene from American Buffalo. It's just one of these classic 70s dude plays, just three dudes in a room just fucking being mad at each other.
Oh, I know American Buffalo.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's an American classic. So we'll, with any luck. I mean, I'm planning on it. In my mind, like, I'm careful what I'm saying because I don't know if anything has been announced or not. But like, in my mind, it's full steam ahead. But I'll be back in New York anyway doing rehearsal and stuff. So, you know, come beginning of next year, if not sooner, depending on when Broadway opens, which is supposed to open in September. Yeah, maybe we'll have ourselves a little a theater jaunt.
I would love that. Honestly, I miss going to see live theater so bad.
It'll be waiting. It's going to be a boom, man. Everyone's going to want to go see shit, and it's going to be a great thing for the Broadway industry, for audience. It's going to, like I said, the soaring 20s are upon us.
I know.
Just take off.
I cannot wait.
Well, speaking of taking off, what was your breakfast epiphany?
So, okay. I think sometimes my phone is purposely trying
antagonism.
To
get me. Right.
Because I'll get notifications like from my photo album. We have a memory for you, and it's a photo from like 2014 or a photo from 2010. And it's always photos of me and my ex. Always.
Wow.
Every time it's like me and an ex-boyfriend of mine. It's never me and my sisters. It's never like a photo of like a crepe that I took when I was, you know, with my friends in, you know, at like Coney Island. It's never that. It's always me and a boyfriend.
Yikes.
And I would be lying if I said that after I see this photo, I don't go on a deep stalking mission. So I came, my breakfast epiphany after seeing one of these photos was, I have a really difficult time with letting go of exes. Why do I keep their photos in my photo album still? Why haven't I deleted all those photos?
I will see your thought about you thinking you can't give up exes and raise you the fact that I think your phone can't give up exes. I think your phone is holding on to something, and as a result, trying to bait you into having more experiences with that ex than you are. Because it sounds like the phone is the one who's like, hey, look at this thing. I mean, literally when you were about to tell me this, your phone rang with your current boyfriend. I think your phone is in on some shit. Your phone is like, has some kind of emotional fuckery going on. Your phone's just probably possessed. That's the most sensible.
So the answer to my breakfast epiphany, thank you, Darren, is that my phone is possessed. And I should probably get it exercised because there's a demon living in my phone.
Yeah, your phone needs to start doing some cardio. It needs to exercise itself.
To get exercise. Thank you for the dad joke. You know, to really bring it full circle.
So stupid. If people are wondering why we don't have a guest, it's because, well, you know, we're moving around, moving and shaking. And as things go back to work, it was tough to get people on the horn, but I'm sure next week we'll return with some guests. So we just made the guests ourselves this time. I think just sort of as an exit interview with the Maya stuff, we ended up cutting out a few things just because we went off on a lot of sort of personal tangents. But one thing that I didn't get to talk to her about was, and I posted this when we posted the episode, was so the movie Gattaca, which I mentioned, she has a very small bit part in. And a lot of my friends are like, what? Because we love that movie. And she just plays like, you know, she's just a day player. She doesn't have any lines. But beyond Gattaca, a movie that was very talked about in the sort of Twilight Zone Trump presidency years was Idiocracy. And this is a movie that has kind of a cult following. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you see it. Some things haven't aged very well, but at the same time, there are some things in it that are eerily... they sort of eerily predict the slight odd future that the world would have. And Maya Rudolph stars in that as the romantic lead with Luke Wilson. It's a funny little weird movie. And I was curious to know if people like stopped her about it because of the way that it kind of reemerged in the past several years. Do you know that movie? Yeah. Do you know Idiocracy?
I do. And, you know, I think Maya gets stopped almost anytime she's out because she's just so loved by so many people.
Yeah, she really is.
She really is. And yes, I do think that there was kind of this resurrection of that movie over the last couple years.
With just how dumb America became.
I wish we would have asked her. You know what? Maybe we need to have a part two where we get her on the horn if she has time.
Maybe she's just the only, maybe the thing we do is just interview Maya Rudolph. That's just the entire podcast. If we really truly get to figure this out as we go along, that may just be the name of the game.
She is a wealth of knowledge and also such a deep well of experience.
I mean, I have no problem. Again, I could have talked to her forever. Her whole family.
I know, and she was so sweet. She loved you too.
That's a huge compliment. It's hard for me with people like her because I want to get into so much, and you know, we have to make sure that it's cohesive for our listeners listening in. You know, there are a lot of people like Maya. Well, I want to say there's nobody like Maya, but there are people that remind us of Maya in the sense that they do, you know, a lot of things within the performing arts, the music thing, the performing thing, the comedy thing. And there's a lot of people that kind of fit a similar pedigree that we've thought about them. We've reached out to them. People are busy. But if you can think of anybody and you want to bug us about it or bug them on social media, please feel free to do so. I think it's, what are we at? That Thing I Do Pod? Is that what it is?
At That Thing I Do Pod. Let us know who you want interview, who you think would be really interesting, and
or let us know any questions or fun things you want us to do in the show, because clearly this is just us figuring shit out as we go along. So
I have a great time doing it.
Yeah, we want to hear what you guys are thinking, any stories or anything that you want to know about. The problem with social media for me is I'm clearly very long-winded. It's not that I like to hear the sound of my voice so much as that I guess I like being as articulate and leaving no detail out as much as possible. So when I'm confined to a certain amount of characters or a certain amount of time for people's attention span, I was not built for the social media age. I'm like terrible at it. So what's great about this podcast is if you have any questions, I'll like get into it on this fucking podcast.
I was going to say, when is Tramp Stamp Granny's open? Darren has a really cool in Hollywood that I still have not been to yet, but I'm planning. Really?
You've been on the road. It's all good. Hopefully, with any luck, I think the date is June 14th, June 15th for bars and restaurants in California. But we still got a ways to go because it's like reopening all over again with staffing, and it's a lot of work. So hopefully July. But I'm not the person to give this information because, you know, Mia is kind of the boss lady. She does all the work. I literally do nothing for that bar. I just like... People are like, oh, I love your bar. I'm like, I don't do fuck all. Like, I literally show up, get drunk, and play the piano sometimes. But other than that, it is 100% Mia's bar. Like, she does, she built, it's everything. Everything is her.
You know what? I thank God for that because I'm going to need to go to a bar and sing some fucking songs.
Have a sing song.
I'm going to have a sing song. Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Well, definitely Darren, I love you. I miss you.
Love you. I miss you. Safe travels back whenever you return to us in Southern California. I'm going to go sit in the sun and be a lizard.
I love it. And can you just write in your diary everything that happens, because I want to be able to read it later.
Okay. This is it. This is what I'm going to do. Experience.
All right. Love
that's
you.
That's my day.
Love all the listeners.
Bye, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. Bye, guys.
That Thing I Do is a presentation of Cadence 13 Studios.
If you like the show, which I know you do, please be sure to like us, follow us, and leave a glowing review.
Thank you for listening to our show. We'll see you next time.